are going, and Father, we know all things are working perfect according to your perfect will, Father, and we thank you for that, Father. Most of all, Father, we thank you for our salvation in Christ Jesus, and in his precious name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bookout. Good morning again to you. We're going to get right into our message in Hebrews chapter 10. We had a conversation this morning for those on the Facebook and other recordings that we had a meeting this morning talking about our upcoming Bible conference, September the 15th and 16th, Friday night, Saturday. So we're trying to plan for that this morning. So we're running a little bit behind. That's okay. My father-in-law once told me when I was a young preacher, he once told me, he said, try to keep your message about 30 minutes. If you go beyond that, people are going to start tuning you out. That may be true some, it may not, probably isn't of a lot of others, but that's okay. Well, I'll keep it 30 minutes this morning because that's all the time I have. So if you'll turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, I want to talk to you about something very important for us as Christians this morning, which we talk about is important for us as Christians, isn't it? It says in verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Don't miss that word right there. His people. The Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Notice the difference between this and some of the other. When vengeance is used, vengeance isn't used here. Because God's not going to be vengeant with his people. But he will judge them. He's going to judge us. When Christ comes, he brings his rewards with him. He will judge us. Jesus Christ will judge us all. And a lot of times, Christians don't think about this. We don't think about a lot of things sometimes. But one day, and it may be soon, sooner than you think, sooner than you suppose, and we're going to all be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to be judged of the Lord. And he says here, verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I hear a lot of people, oh, Lord. Unknowledgeable, some people are. Say, oh, don't judge me, let the Lord judge me. When the Lord gets through judging the most of us, we're going to wish that somebody else had judged us. But call to remembrance, verse 32, the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you were endured with a great fight of affliction, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproach and afflictions, and partly while you become compassion of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyful and spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye were in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall endure will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Notice who he's talking to here. He's talking to Christians, isn't he? From the first ones up here, he's talking about those of old days, but also to us of these days. He talked about our judgment. And he said that vengeance belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. And then he goes on and says that the Lord said, I will recompense. And the Lord shall judge his people. And it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. So the Lord tells us here, not to draw back. And if we do, God had no pleasure in us. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I titled this message, it's going to be a series. I want to get the introduction probably complete this morning. Do not waste the gifts of God. The first gift of God to us is salvation. That is the first and the greatest gift that God has given to any human being. Because we are sinful souls and none of us ought to ever have been saved. But God, by His love, His grace, and His mercy, chose to save a remnant of people from this earth. That's our blessing. That's our greatest blessing. Because without salvation, nothing else matters. Secondly, the other gifts in life that God gives us, all of the spiritual gifts, faith, love, meekness, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering. We can go on and on and on with all of the great gifts of God, can't we? And then the gift of putting us into the Lord's church. And the gift of using us in his work. See, God is blessing us every time we're able to do anything for the Lord. Because we're not doing anything for the Lord to advance the Lord. We don't sow and water and sow and water and sow and water so the Lord can save sinners, do we? Can't God save a sinner without our sowing and watering? Can't God get glory and honor from His own self without using us to do so? I mean, He created an innumerable amount of angels in heaven just for that purpose. God doesn't need us. We advance God in nothing. We profit God nothing. You say, then why do we do this? To bring glory to God. And to bring glory to our Savior. God is omni-everything. He's eternal. He is eternally sovereign. He never changes in anything. Nothing we do in this life benefits the Lord one iota. What we do is praise and honor and glorify our Lord for our salvation. What we do because of salvation. Now, well, God said we work with a partnership. We do. We do work with a partnership with God. In watering and sowing and teaching and baptizing and the church activities and church's advancements, we do work with the Lord. But we don't advance anything with the Lord through those things, except we bring glory and honor to our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father, God. Some people act like sometimes that they are really doing a great work for the Lord and He is really advancing because of him or them. Could be more wrong. The blessing to us is that God allows us to do these things. Not only does God allow us to do these things, He puts us in a position to do them. And in a position to accomplish them. And if we don't do them, then we're failing the Lord. Think about this. When life is over, when Jesus, after Jesus has come, Jesus will judge us. And he will give every person a reward according to their works. That is, a reward according to their works, according to this book. Your belief, your stand, your walk in this book. That's your judgment. Your sins have been paid for by the blood of Jesus. Those are what we'd be judged by. The Lord says our works will be judged by fire. Some will be like precious gems and not burn up, and some will be like wood, hay, and stubble, and they will totally burn up. A lot of people's going to seek destruction of any works they have or any rewards they have coming because of other things they've done in their life. Your membership in a Baptist church is of great importance to you, or it will be in the kingdom of God, because the church is the bride of Christ. So when the Lord says, I started making this message, I started verse 32, I went back up 30, verse 31, now I went back up to 30. I'm trying to keep it down here, because the further back I go, the more I'm going to preach. So let me read my introduction. If you want to go ahead and turn to 1 John 3, and then we're going to go back to the book, and then we're going to go to the book of John, then to Ephesians, then to Romans, then to 1 Corinthians, and so forth and so on. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are without question blessed. However, as children of God, our blessings continue all the days of our life. God never stops giving to us. Every moment of our life is a gift from God. Everything that happens in our life is a gift of God. The Lord said that all things work together for the good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. God didn't exaggerate by that. God doesn't exaggerate. God meant what he said, didn't he? If you'll turn to 1 John chapter 3, we read in verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Do you hear that? Did you hear what God just said? Think about that. You know, the Lord said if we have enough faith, we can move mountains. We can't move them because we don't have enough faith. Well, God didn't exaggerate. God doesn't exaggerate. He's telling the truth, wasn't he? That was his promise. If we have enough faith, we can move the mountains. The problem is, we don't have enough faith. We may think we do, and we may go up as Monte St. No Mountain over around Huntsville, Alabama, and try to move the mountain. And then we say, well, God fibbed to me because he didn't move. I got great faith. Who says you got great faith? The problem is, you tried to move the mountain instead of the Lord moving it for you, right? Your faith is what God does, not what you do. Just because we can't accomplish something don't mean God didn't give us the faith to do it with. So the Lord's promise here is that, and whatsoever you ask, we receive of him. That's good, isn't it? Well, I asked for something last week, God didn't give it to me. Well, maybe you asked amiss. Maybe you asked out of faith. Maybe the Lord didn't choose to because you didn't deserve it. And why does it say, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him? Lord answers, doesn't it? Because we keep his commandments. That's our stipulation, isn't it? Rewards are earned. And blessings of God are rewards, aren't they? Some are gifts and some are rewards, aren't they? And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. These blessings is not what we want or desire, but whatever God chooses for us to have. It ain't the fact that I asked for it. It's how I asked for it. It's am I keeping his commandments? Am I in the will of God? Am I doing what God tells me to do? Am I doing what God wants me to do? God's not going to give us all crowns and rewards in the kingdom of God just to give them to us. We're going to earn them. You and I will earn them. God's not going to give me a crown or reward for being your pastor. He's going to give me one because I did it right. Because I teach the truth. Because I stand upon the truth. Because I feed his sheep the truth. However, the gifts of God keep going, don't they? We are blessed to have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. Look at John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. He said in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comfort, that he may abide with you forever. Wow. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwell with you. Listen, and he shall be in you. He's come in to live in us. Another gift of God, isn't it? What's he doing in there? Just sitting there? No. He's working with you every moment of your life. He's inspiring your inner man to do the things of God, to study, to learn, to educate us, to pray, and to walk according to the Spirit of the Word. To make the right choices and decisions in life. In order to please God, everything in our life is about pleasing God. Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Wednesday night or Sunday afternoon or Thursday or any other day you may have a worship service, but every day of your life is a day that you are to please the Lord our God. Every time you pick up a Bible and read it, every time you open up a commentary, every time you brush open a dictionary to study the words of God, you do it to learn the word of God of truth, and you walk in that truth. First, he comes in to quicken your dead spirit. Ephesians 2:1, it says, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's the first blessing, isn't it? When he comes into us, first thing he does is quicken our spirit. He's not there for no other reason. He's not there to ride around with you. He's not there to go and do what you're doing as a lost person. He came into you to save your soul. To quicken your dead spirit so that you can hear the word of God. So he opens up your ears spiritually. He opens up your eyes spiritually. And you can see and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time. Amazing how many people said, boy, I heard that message probably 100 times. It never affected me. All of a sudden, it affected me. Sure it did, because the Holy Spirit came in and quickened your spirit. Go to Romans 8, if you will. This quickening would be like Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. We were so dead, we were sinking. Lord, Lord, Lord. were so dead like Lazarus in the grave that we were also stinking. Stinky. Because we were dead. Couldn't decipher the things of the Word of God. Couldn't hear the things of the Word of God. Couldn't understand the things of the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit wasn't there teaching us. Now He's there. He quickened us. So we're sinking no more. We're stinking no more. We're living. We are alive. And why aren't we praising the Lord with every breath of our day? With every thought of our heart? Seeking the truth over and over and over every day, renewing our Word of God in our heart. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. None. But you do, because you are of the Spirit of God. Because of that, you are Christ. Because He brought you to Christ. You didn't come. He brought you. The Lord said, John 6, He drew us. Means He drug us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwell in you? Do you know that? Do we understand that we are the temple of God now? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Spirit of Jesus Christ dwells in us. We are the temple of God. We are gifted from God with the gift of sonship. The gift of being a soldier of God on this earth. Not to please ourselves, but to please our Father and to fill His blessings and to fulfill His will. So many times, some Christians will get up and all of a sudden they start thinking more of themselves than they ought to. Is any man alive, is any preacher living on this earth that was greater than the Apostle Paul? I doubt it. I doubt it. But what was Paul's words before he died? I am what I am by the grace of God. Lord tells us over in Romans, I think it's 11, not to think more of ourselves than we ought to. When we get away from humility and get into pride, we start going down and down and down, spiraling down, losing those things that we have gained for all those years. We must walk carefully. You are the temple of God, and the Spirit dwells in you. That makes you a soldier of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man weareth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Forget about the things of this life. Forget about them. All they're going to do is bring you down. Make you sink lower and lower and lower. The only thing that's going to bring you up is the Lord. And the doing what you do in the will of God. To bring glory to our Lord and to please and bring glory to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise His name for what He did for me. He went to Calvary. But before He went there, He went through a whole lot of beating, a whole lot of pain, a whole lot of anger. Calvary was the end of it. It's all that happened before that that matters. Not that Calvary don't matter, but don't forget about the other things that Christ did for us. The word warrant means serve, to serve the Lord. No man that served the Lord. We were not blessed with salvation, life, grace, mercy, tools from God, and abilities to serve God, to engage ourselves with the affairs of this life. But to serve God as a soldier of truth in the Lord's churches. Battling the battle of the truth. We don't battle the world. We're not here to fight with the world. We're not here to fight with gays and pride and transgenders and Democrats and Republicans and liberals and conservatives. We're not here to do those things. We are here to serve the Lord. To be soldiers for the Lord. Let them do whatever they want. They're going to do it anyway. We can't stop them. People call these stores and they want to know, are y'all woke? Well, every business on earth almost is woke. It's really not smart to call them. All you have to do is pretty much guess at it. And then they jump on the employees like they can do something to change it. They can't do anything to change it. They're there trying to make a paycheck. Don't mean they agree with them. I wonder sometimes what side of the bed some Christians really get up on. Or is these sometimes these Christians really Christians? Or are they just activists for God? Because God don't need activists. God needs people to proclaim the truth of God's word. And calling up Walmart and getting on them and calling up their employees and getting on them because Walmart's all this woke stuff isn't advancing God one bit. Shooting abortion doctors isn't advancing God. Stopping abortion isn't advancing God. Stopping homosexuality isn't advancing God. Stopping transgenderism isn't advancing God. This advances God. Not in the way we might look at advancement, but it advances the truth of God's word, doesn't it? The world's going to be the world. It's going to self-destruct because God's going to destroy it. Just as He did once before. And why did God destroy it? Because God looked down on people on the earth and all He seen in their hearts was evil continually. God saw one righteous man, Noah, and then his family. And God blessed him with grace. What did Noah do? Noah went to all the people and told them continuously how evil they are. No. What did Noah do? Noah built an ark, didn't he? While they mocked him, made fun of him, told him how crazy and stupid he was, he still built an ark. Some scholars say it didn't even rain till it rained for the flood. It was always just a dew. I don't know if that's true or not. I didn't live back them days. The Bible doesn't say that I know of whether it ever rained before or not that I know of. I could be wrong. I'm not the smartest man in the Word of God. So here's this man of God building an ark, mind his own business, building an ark, mind his own business, building an ark. Why? Because that's what God told him to do. We're not activists, folks. We're servants of God. We're not activists of Donald J. Trump or any other man. We are servants of God, servants of Jesus Christ, servants of the Lord's church. Listen, let me finish this real quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, God explains to us this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You're new. Old things are passed away, are they? Are they passed away? And behold, all things become new. Do they? God said they do, didn't he? The problem is, are we living the new creature? Understand what I'm saying? Have we allowed these old things to be passed away? Are all things new to us? Are we sinking back into the form we was at when we were stinking up the place? One day God will judge us. We must all please the Lord. We must all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and hear how we treated God's blessings in our lives. As Christians, we bring glory to the name of the Lord, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As churches, we are to do as commanded and carry the gospel to the world and make one disciples of those that are saved, doing the best that God will allow us to do. Because we're only going to be as good as God makes us, aren't we? This will be our accountability to Him. This will be our last scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. What will be the Lord Jesus Christ's words to you when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ for judgment? I hope these are the words the Lord says to me. In verse 21, he says, His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came, saith, Lord, thou deliverest unto me the 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Thou enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's what we want to do, isn't it? See? He was given grace and he advanced. He doubled. That made him a good, faithful servant. As Christians and churches, we must never waste the gifts of God. We must take these gifts and use them as far as we can and accomplish as much as God will allow us to accomplish, all to honor our Father and to honor His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. Praise the Lord. That is our introduction. Next week, we'll get into point one, and I have no idea how long we'll spend here. But I do thank the Lord for this message. Let's all stand. Have a wonderful day. Sorry about the short service, but